1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, we're going to come out of the text. Our text is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Give you an opportunity to get there. We thank God for you. Praise God. Amen. Are you there?
Yes,
sir. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9.
Amen.
1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. Amen. We won't be before you long. It's already 90 degrees outside at 11 something in the morning. They say that it feels like 96. But I thank God for the atmosphere of this building that is cool.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise God. My wife says she had to have her fan. She don't like to be hot.
Amen.
Praise God. Me neither, but, you know, you come over my house, you bring your jacket.
You
praise God. Amen. We like to keep it cool. Especially in the summer. Are you there?
Yes.
Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing.
Yes, God.
Ye rejoice with your joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want to talk to you this morning about your joy is tied to your faith. Can I talk about that this morning? Your joy is tied to your faith. And I asked myself a question. I said, what is joy? The biblical definition of joy says that joy is a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on whom we are or what is happening around us. I think I ought to read that definition again. The biblical definition of joy, because we can look it up in Webster or whatever dictionary that you choose to look it up in, and it's going to describe joy as good pleasure, happiness. And even in the biblical term of joy, it says that joy is a feeling of good pleasure and happiness, y'all ought to get this, that is dependent on who Jesus is. Let's get that point first. It is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who we are or what is happening around us. See, because I can be joyful when I get a lot of money. I could be joyful, me and Anthony can be joyful because we got clientele to make money. I could be joyful that I have somewhere to live. I could be joyful, y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I could be joyful that I have a job to go to. I could be joyful that I have a healthy family and that my kids are doing okay. I could be joyful, right? But I don't want my joy to be predicated and I no longer continue to be joyous because something happened.
All right. Right.
But I want my joy to be dependent on who Jesus is.
Yes.
See, that's the difference.
Yes.
That's the difference in the joy of the world and the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Because my joy shall remain.
Amen.
Because of who Jesus
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Yes.
Okay, okay. So Nehemiah 8:10, you ought to write that down. Nehemiah 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I love that scripture because sometimes we can get down, Sister Gonzalez, right? Sister Patterson, Sister Robinson, whatever. You got three names. But and sometimes we can go through some things,
yes, sir. Yes.
And we don't feel that joy no more.
Yes, sir.
But you ought to keep your joy because you ought to get your help ought to be coming because you know where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord, and since the Lord is helping you, you ought to have joy. Are you with me?
Yes,
Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." It's personal. Somebody say it's personal. So when you think, I'm not going to be before you long. Y'all hold on now. I want you to listen closely because in our dependence of God, we rely on his strength to guide us through the manifold temptations mentioned in the text. We have been forewarned of the trials and tribulation that sometimes hinder us in our dependence on God.
Yes.
See, because a lot of times when we go through some things, we try to handle it on our own.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You're talking.
Do you hear me, Anthony? Sometimes when we go through things, we try to handle things on our own. But we come to church, we hear what God has said, we read what God has said, but since I'm believing what God has said, that's what faith is, that I believe what God said no matter what my situation is. And so I must remain dependent on God, right?
Yeah.
Because I understand that my joy is dependent of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And Jesus came down through 42 generations that I may have access.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all should have said something right then.
Yeah.
See, there's some things that's accessible to me because I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when I think about this, our dependence of God, we rely on his strength to guide us through the manifold temptations mentioned in the text. Even in John 16 and 33, he says that we was going to go through trials and tribulations.
Yes, sir.
He told us that.
Yes, sir.
So it's
yes,
not a secret that you're going through what you're going through.
Yes,
and even in discipleship hour, we talk about the commonality of the things that we go through.
Yes.
That there is no temptation that is common to man, but he provides a way of escape for us.
Yes.
That it's a common thing for you to go through what you're going through, because not only what you're going through, somebody else is going through the identical thing that you're going through. But while I'm going through it, I don't want to lose my joy. Y'all ain't helping me this morning. It seems like I'm working. It's cool in here. It seems like I'm working too hard. But it says that the trials and tribulations, they sometimes hinder us in our dependence on God. Because we try to handle things on ourselves, and we be burdened down and yoked up, and we be in stocks and bonds. But he said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, man, what you got to do, the Bible says that it says enter into my rest. In other words, that sounds like to me you ought to just come on in. Because I'm trying to help you do some things that I have already forewarned you about. I told you that you was going to go through what you're going through. Huh? See, we act like we don't supposed to go through nothing. Huh? But you're going to go through something. So it says we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's in Hebrews 11 and 1. Substance is a verdict for the here and now. Let me help somebody today. I want to break this down.
Yes,
see, substance is a verdict. That's final, right? For the here and now of what we hope for and what God has promised us in the future. I don't see it right now, but I am anticipating something that's going to happen on down the line. See, We get so caught up on God and we serve God because we think God's supposed to give us something. But God, if he don't give you a house, if he don't give you a car, if he don't open you a door, but he's still God. But what he has promised you is eternal life. See, what he's talking about in the future and what we're anticipating is you going to the as you going to heaven. That's the ultimate prize. That's the ultimate destination. He says, but faith, being the substance of things hoped for, is also an outward force. I want you to understand this. Possessing the reality of hope supplies believers with the motivation to endure trials and hardships. See, this is what this does for you. That you're able, see, faith being the substance of things hoped for is also the outward force. Possessing the reality of hope supplies, here go the supply, the resource, supplies believers with the motivation to endure trials and hardships. Somebody say, I was built to go through it. See, we think we can't go through it, so we go back to the commonality thing that there is no temptation that is common to man, but he'll give you, and he's not saying that you're going to get out of it, but he's going to give you the strength and the ability to be able to endure it. Paul said, man, I got something in my side. It's steady bothering me, and it came above me, and I actually it three times, but I asked you to remove this thing away from me. But God said in his word, he said that my grace is sufficient enough. I built you to go through what you're going through.
Thank you, God.
In other words, though I go through the storm and the rain, the difficulties, the disappointments, the hardships, the valley lows, in every other situation that comes to steal my joy, I remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. I don't care what kind of storm I go through. See, that's why the roots and the rooted and grounded means that when I'm going through the hardships and the pains and the difficulties, that I'm going to stay rooted and grounded, and I'm not going to defer to what I believe. I believe what God says. And he told me that I was going to go through what I'm going through. But I'm telling you that you're built for it, people of God. No matter what you're going through in this present time, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time cannot compare to the glory that shall be revealed. So though I go through it, I'm going to remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. I still believe, we still believe, God, your joy is tied to your faith. We must refuse to give in or throw in the towel because what we're going through. People of God, we have a far more exceeding glory waiting on us. We must believe that by faith. Your joy is tied to your faith. Because I'm going to stand on what God says. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. John 15 and 11 says, you ought to write that down. John 15 and 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said that your joy might be full. He's talking about a future a circumstance. He's talking about a future outcome. And even in that verse in Romans, that I reckon that the sufferings of this present times cannot compare to the glory that shall be revealed in you. That until that comes, I'm going to go through some things, But I'm going to remain steadfast and unmovable and standing on the word of God, because my joy is tied to my faith. Do y'all remember? Can I give an example? Somebody say, give us an example. Do y'all remember? Do y'all remember Paul and Silas? Y'all do, don't you? Right around in Acts chapter 16, right? So when you think about this, faith, I can't get off of this. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when you think about adverse circumstances, instead of hindering our faith, can actually enhance our joy. Paul and Silas knew adversity as they sat in jail with their feet in stocks. Their legal rights had been violated. They had been arrested without cause and beaten without a trial.
That's right.
At midnight. Somebody ought to say at midnight.
At midnight.
I'm reminded of the song that late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around. He's going to work in your favor. Y'all remember that song? But it says that they had been arrested without cause and beaten without a trial, and at midnight, right? Since they couldn't sleep, what they did was at midnight, since they couldn't sleep, they sang loudly. The praises of the Lord they were serving. When you think about everything that Paul and Silas was going through, they was going through a difficult time. They was going through some trials and tribulations, but yet and still, their joy still remained. And while they was in jail, can we read the text? Let's turn to it. I want to read this. Acts chapter. I want to get this because we're getting ready to conclude. I want to read this. Acts chapter 16. I want to read this. I want to give you some scriptures too. Acts chapter 16. Let me get to it. Praise God. Yeah, I got to stay. I stay. You can't take my joy, devil.
Amen.
I refuse to let you take my joy, devil.
Glory to God. Get out of here.
I know what Jesus did for us, for me. Let's start around chapter verse 19 in Acts 16. We'll read down to verse 26. I just want you to see this, because you got to understand that people can get discouraged in jail. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. Because your joy can be based on, listen to this, your joy can be based on you getting a letter when they call mail call. Your joy, some of y'all might not understand this. Your joy might be, it might be set up to where you joy is because you can go and you can hand your card in there. They can give you something, throw you something out the window so you can fill up your bag. So later on, if they feed stuff that got crickets off in it, you might eat some green beans. It might be a cricket off it. It might be some type of insect in there. And when you get used to living that way, you just pick it out and just keep on eating. Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me. And your joy could be set up to the point to where, man, I can't eat that. I need somebody to send me some money so I can go buy me some Zuzus and some wham-wham. I need me some Roman noodle soup. I need the spicy and the beef so I can mix up me some summer sauce and squeeze me some jalapeno squeeze cheese on it and cut it up and ask somebody to bring me an onion from the kitchen. Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me. But if I ain't got no money, then I'm always sad. I'm always mad. But I can tell you, you could be off inside in a dungeon, but you got the joy of the Lord. You'll just keep on kicking out those crickets. You'll keep on eating those green beans. You'll keep on eating that body pro that they used to feed way back in the day. And you'll just keep on eating.
Thank you for the help on the outside. Thank you, Jesus.
In 19 it says,
Thank you.
And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, see, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace of the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceed in trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Can you imagine really what they were saying, that they thrust them into the in the inner prison? This is what inner prison is in modern time. Inner prison is administrative segregation, ag
sed.
They separate you. There's a prison inside a prison. That you're not allowed to be with the population, the general population. So you're confined to your cell 23 hours out of the day, and you come out to take a shower, and they give you so much time, a rec time, to go to rec. These are for the bad actors, the ones that are gang members and all these kind of things, and they violent individuals. They can't be in the population because they're subject to shank somebody, kill somebody, traffic drugs, and so they segregate them and keep them away from the from the population. And what they wanted to do was keep Paul and Silas away from the general population, because Paul and Silas were spreading the gospel, and people were being influenced because of what they were saying. Oh, somebody say, all you have to do is just preach the word. So all you have to do is just preach the word and let the word do the word. And the word was doing the word, and they didn't like how the word was doing the word. And they said, we need to stop these dudes, because people are being converted and people are being persuaded and influenced to follow after what they were saying. So we need to stop them and beat them and put them in segregation. But somebody say, but while they was in segregation, but while they was in segregation, and they was going through, see, your joy is tied to your faith. They still believed in what they was preaching. And though they was stopped up, they was going together. They didn't let that what they was going through and the circumstances they was going through stop them from believing what they believed. They stood on the word of God. And instead of them being complaining and crying and begging to be released and compromising, telling them, we're not going to say nothing about Jesus no more, that they were still locked up in segregation, and they started singing and praising God. The Bible says, and at midnight. See, instead of you crying about it, you are in the midnight hour, you ought to be crying out to God. You ought to be praying to God. You ought to be telling them. You ought to be telling your situation about your God. And God gonna turn it around. He gonna work in your faith. He gonna work it out. See, because what you believe what God said, I believe faith. I believe what God said. I read it. I believe it. He said I was gonna go through this stuff, when I had to be locked up, when I had to lose a house, when the child got repossessed. I still believe God. And people look at me and you crazy. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas. See, they weren't crying about it. They weren't going in the room and closing the door and shutting themselves and secluding themselves. They weren't getting mad at the wife and at the kids and all that. They said at midnight they prayed. Then after they got through praying, they started singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They were still doing the work, even in segregation, even when they were trying to shut them down, even when they were trying to close them out, even when they were trying to seclude them, they started praying this. And the prisoner that was locked in segregation with them heard them praying and heard them singing. Somebody said suddenly. And the Bible says in verse 26, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison, you ought to write that down, Sister Mark. I got the preacher in the sermon called Suddenly. And then it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Things start shaking and vibrating. Glory to God. He's a good God. Thank you. And immediately, he's a good God. Thank you, God. And immediately, all the doors was open, and everyone's bands were loose, and the keeper, I'll keep on reading, and the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew, he said, man, they gonna kill me, so I'm gonna kill myself. Supposing that the prison had been bled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm thyself. He said, don't harm yourself, my brother. It's just God at work. It's just doing what God do. He said, then he called for a light and sprang it in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized in all his and all meals straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meal before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Can I keep reading? And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told them, saying to Paul, the magistrate has sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly and uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately, nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out.
That's right.
And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrate, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed.
My God.
Your faith is tied. Your joy is tied to your faith. God will shake them things. He'll shake it loose. He'll fix it up. He'll doctor you up. He'll feed you. All that in the text. So despite what they were going through, their joy was tied to their faith. Can I give you another example? Well, go to Hebrews 12. Get the music ready, sweetheart. Praise God. Glory to God. This scripture ought to just tell it to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It ought to tell it to you. It's self-explanatory. Amen. Are you there? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That messed me up because I referred back to the Garden of Gethsemane, and I referred to when he told him to wait right here and I'll be back. He was going to go pray about the cup that he had to drink from. And I referred to when he said, if you could take this cup away from me. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That after he thought about it for a while, he understood the end result of what he had to go through. And even though he had to suffer on the cross with all the things that he was going through, he knew joy was on the other side. Even the things that he was going through, that he knew that his joy still was going to remain. He knew that he was sent down here on purpose, for a purpose. And he knew that he was going to have to go through some pain and suffering. They whipped him. They nailed nails in his hands and in his side. They put his feet together. They pushed him in his side. They put thorns on his head. They spat on him. and they rolled dice and were shooting dice at his feet. But he knew that he had to go through all of that thing. But he never let his faith waver, because he knew that his joy was tied to his faith. He knew after he stretched out his hands and said, "It is finished," that when he got back up in his glorified body, he went around about 40 days and he was breaking bread with them and was walking through walls. And telling Thomas, "Come here, man, put your hand on my side." He said, he said, "For the ones that don't believe, don't see me believe."
Yeah,
all that he went through. They said that he was marred before, and couldn't even be recognized beyond recognition. They beat him down. But he knew joy was on the other side. He knew joy was coming in the morning. You might do it for a night, but joy coming in the morning. He knew he was going to get a new body. He knew he was going back where he came from. And since he knew that, he said, "I'm going to go through this thing." He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. People of God, God got something for you. We got to know that the suffering, the persecution, the things that we go through is part of it. We was built for this. Jesus knew that joy was coming on the other side. Just turn back a little bit on Hebrews chapter 10. You got the music going for me? Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to finish it up with a verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 through 36. Praise God. We thank God. 34 through 36. Your joy is tied to your faith. Verse 34 says, "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive your promise." People of God, your joy is tied to your faith. Praise God. I hope this message bless you. May God keep you. May God bless you.